How wonderful to be a child of God. These are not just words, but facts for which our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, vouches for. And for this, we are so grateful to our Lord, that we, who were once not his people, who were not worthy of his grace, and I am not worthy, but nevertheless, it is so beautiful, so wonderful to be God's child, to experience God's grace, to dwell in his presence, and to offer him honor and thanks. May God help us. We have already heard a very precious and wonderful word, and we come together here again and again, as we all know. It is not a habit, but an urging of our hearts, an urging in our innermost being. When I see our brothers today who come from far away, I ask myself the question, what is it that brings us together? What is it that urges in our hearts and points to it? If I may put it this way, it is the love of God. The love for what God has placed in our hearts. And it is His Word and His Spirit that urges us to do so. May God help us. May God help all those who might want to be here, who are looking for to have fellowship, to glorify the Lord together, to worship Him and to praise His name. But not everyone is given the opportunity. But we know that everyone and everywhere is given the opportunity to worship the Lord together and honor His name. And we also want to stand up for each other and always hold each other up in prayer, because we don't know how much longer. We hear everything that happens around us. It's a bit strange. It sounds so impossible, and yet it is true. People are talking about peace everywhere. It is emphasized everywhere. And as we all know and hear, they are arming themselves as never before. May God give us this as an example, that we can visualize or see, that we may learn from it, that we may be equipped with the Spirit of truth, with the Spirit of His power, with the Spirit of His love, that we may rejoice to meet Him soon. May God help us to look up to Him alone and glorify His name. Perhaps I would like to read a chapter from the book of Acts. We all know the Holy Scriptures. They are read to us so often. And perhaps we read it even more often and recognize that God speaks to us from it when we come together here. Acts 22. Here someone, if I may put it this way, justifies himself in the name of the Lord before those who thought they had the promise of all that was given to them, as we heard yesterday, and it passed them by. May God show us grace to learn from this. Here Paul speaks and says, Acts 22 from verse 1, Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city, at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest does bear me witness unto all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass, that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Up to here, this precious and holy word. There is nothing to be added here to what we have heard, what we have read, and often read ourselves. But for me, the Book of Acts is something special, something great. Whenever I read it, I see, and if I may put it this way, I always find new light. New things open up for me. I can recognize and perceive, and we all can, that at all times, as we know here, the Apostle Paul was imprisoned for the sake of his testimony, for the sake of whom he accepted, and we have read it here, how he stood up or was given the opportunity to speak to those who raged against him whom they crucified, whom they beat, whom they martyred, who died for the world, not only died, he was laid in the grave. He rose gloriously from the dead. He ascended victoriously into heaven. And we know from thence he will come again to fetch those who have the testimony that he has given them. The question that we ask ourselves, or that I ask myself, is, do we have this testimony of Jesus Christ in us? Are we equipped with what he has brought into this world for us, with a certainty, yes, with a blessedness, with what he has poured out on those who waited for him and on the commands he gave? As we heard last night, they were to bear witness to what they had heard, to see that they were equipped with a power and were thus able to go into all the world and bear witness the good news. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that even a Paul or a former Saul, who, as we know, with a great zeal for the law, as he expresses here, that he was also like those, that he also stood up for the law of the fathers and was against those who followed that doctrine of him who was crucified, that he persecuted those who bore witness to what they heard, saw and perceived, that he imprisoned them and persecuted them. He expressed it here. He received letters and went to Damascus to bring them to Jerusalem so that they could be punished there for their faith. But we have heard and read, he himself bears witness here and says, As I was on my way, suddenly at midday, what has happened? We could say, what can be brighter at midday than the sun? What could be more glorious than the sun? But here we have heard and read that not only he, but also those who were with him, perceived it. Brother Branham has already said it so often and repeats it, that this pillar of fire, this bright light that accompanied the Israelites, had appeared to Paul or had appeared to Saul, who had gone there with authority to lead those who were to be punished. But he sank down and knew, he knew full well, it could be none other than the Lord who once laid the people of Israel out. And as I said, Brother Branham so often points out that an Israelite, a Jew, when he perceives something from the pillar of fire, he knows exactly who it is and who is speaking from it. May God work in you and in me and in all of us, so that we recognize the one who speaks to us from the pillar of fire, from the light of his glory. We have heard, Paul says here, that he heard the voice, he perceived the words that spoke to him, because he was destined to do so. The others saw the light, but did not hear the voice. He spoke to them, and I've said it before, how is it possible? God appears to a soul on the way. He speaks to him. He talks to him and says to him, well, go to Damascus. Could he not continue to speak to him? Couldn't he give him the orders that he had to carry out? No. As we hear so often, Brother Frank said it over and again, God needs people through whom he speaks. God needs people to carry his message. God needs earthen vessels, fragile vessels, and yet he filled them with his spirit to carry the message. And so he had to go to Damascus, and there was a man there, as we just read, called Ananias, and he addressed Paul as brother. We know that the Lord is omnipotent, the Lord is omniscient, and knows who he can use. But here, as we have read in all this, when Paul had thus borne witness, as God had spoken to him, up to this moment, when he now bore witness and said that he was destined to stand up for Christ and to prove that he was the true one who was to come. Until then they listened, and then everything in them rebelled against it. We know we are living in a similar time. It hasn't changed. But when we hear, or when the testimony of Christ Jesus is given and the power of his glory is made known, the world starts to rage and say, they are out of their minds. They go into ecstasy. Brother Rus has already expressed this in recent days. We honor the one who suffered for us. We honor him who fills us. To his honor and praise. Up to this point we have heard, they were all calm. But when Paul testified of the one who has all power in heaven and on earth, they were beside themselves and shouted, away with him, away with him. May God grant us grace, that in the time in which we find ourselves, we may recognize in everything that the Lord is gracious and merciful. And one wish and one desire that we have, that I have, is that the word of grace may still be given out, and I would like to call out to all of us that we do not want to remain seated, but want to go out. A lot of time has passed. May God grant us grace that the last hours that we still have to walk here, as Brother Frank said, he dared to say things until this year, but now he no longer can dare to. So we want to stand together to deliver the message of salvation once again, so that the Lord can speak once more. And for this he needs people, as we have read here. He spoke to a soul, but he needed Ananias to instruct him. May God help us to be as such an open letter, as Paul himself says, to be read by everyone, to the honor of his name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. How marvelous to hear and receive the word in this way, and to hear about what God once did, and then a huge desire arises. O Lord, do the same again. When you read like that, and then hear it said and preached, then it really rises up. And you say, Lord, we are not just here to hear what God once did. We are here to experience what He is doing today. We are also going to pray in a moment. Maybe Brother Russ has something to say. I just wanted to briefly emphasize the word that was read from the prophet Isaiah. And there the Lord says that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. We have emphasized it often enough here. It is not to be a house of singing, a house of speech, a house of preaching. No, a house of prayer. A house where people worship in spirit and in truth. A house where God reveals Himself to His people. A house where He hears and answers prayers. A house where we meet Him and He meets us. And we know that when the Lord walked this earth, He tidied up His house, overturned a few things, gave some people a smack, and said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But what have you done with it? When we look at all this, we realize that the Lord has reserved some things for Himself. It's not us who tidy up, not you, not me, but Him. We can hardly manage to tidy up our own house, let alone others, much less His. But when we are gathered in His presence, with a sincere heart, and say, Lord, we are gathered here before Your face. We want to fulfill Your demand, which You Yourself said in John 4, probably 24. The time is coming when all true worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth. Not in Jerusalem, not on a holy mount, not in a holy place, but where they are, in spirit and in truth. We have now all heard and read this from the letter to the Romans, that we should praise with one accord the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in one spirit, in the same faith, in the same conviction, that through him we have become children of God, Christ the firstborn, and we the firstborn, he the high priest, and we the priests, a nation of priests, he the king, and we will be kings with him. Everything has happened, and as it is written here, the Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. He wanted to gather from all peoples, tongues, and nations, as he said to Abraham before the giving of the law, indeed all kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. God already announced the salvation that was to come to the nations in the Old Testament. It has come upon us, and we have gratefully accepted it. The other word, which particularly touched my heart, when you read about it, what the Lord has done, and then at the same time have to realize that even the greatest men of God, prophets and apostles, only knew what the Lord told them and had to wait for him to give them further instructions. Sometimes we have the impression that all men of God have always stood above everything, mastering every situation. No, it wasn't like that. They were dependent on God. Every step they took, they needed God's help. It says here of such a great man with such an extraordinary calling. In a nutshell, he was told, when he saw the light, here it says, he said to me, perhaps from verse 8, I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. It is and remains the case that we all need to hear the voice of the Lord personally. We can see the same light, sit under the same proclamation, but everyone must be addressed personally. It is then a very personal thing between the Lord and the individual. All may be surrounded by the same light, but when the Lord speaks, he speaks very personally to you and very personally to me. Therein lies a great truth. And then it says, as I have said, just briefly, I then asked him, what do you want me to do, Lord? The Lord replied, get up and go to Damascus. There you will receive information about everything you are commanded to do. And he was first told that he would receive his sight, that he had to be baptized, that his sins would be washed away through faith in Jesus Christ. And then the Lord spoke to him again when he was in the temple and said, arise. Or is it somewhere else written? In any case, here in verse 21 it says, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. We think of Isaiah 49, verse 7 or 8, where it says that the Lord was to become a light to all nations. And it happened. It all happened. That's why this story touched my heart. We have arrived at a point again. We want instructions from the Lord. We want to know what we should do. It's absolutely not enough for me to do something just to be busy. That's what everyone is. There are big religious programs everywhere, and everyone knows something, everyone does something. But where is God? Where does He reveal Himself according to His Word? Where can all the promises be fulfilled? Where is the plan of salvation coming through? That's what matters for us. It's really not just about something being done, but about God being able to do something according to His Word in these days. And that is our heart's desire when we are here together and hear His Word, that we come to Him and say, Lord, let us find grace in Thy sight. Not just to do something, but to have part in what You do. Not just to have a program here, but let us be a part of Your divine plan in this time. That is so deep within us. And because God Himself has put it there, it cannot be otherwise that we will be inserted into this plan of God until we witness the fulfillment and then see the glory of God and meet our Lord in the air. All that God has promised are realities, experiences, and events, and they are given to us in the Holy Scriptures, whether personally related, whether in terms of the plan of salvation, whether with a church, no matter what, everything has been given here, and we are happy and grateful for this. Even if it sometimes seems as if we are helpless, powerless, and perhaps even hopeless, but we are not a hopeless case. We have a very lively hope that God has placed in us, a justified hope, and a faith that is anchored in His Word. And this faith, this anchor, reaches behind the veil to the Ark of the Covenant, to the throne of grace, to the point where God has revealed Himself. And we realize that the veil has been torn, that the way is clear, and that we can truly trust our Lord, serve Him, and more than that, trust that He will finish His work victoriously. It would be unworthy of our God if He did not finish His work with great glory, with power, and in His own majesty. He will do it. And so we do not look to ourselves or to circumstances, but to the Lord. Think of a soul He watched with pleasure as Stephen was stoned to death. He kept the raiments and was satisfied that this man who was causing trouble would now be removed. And the Lord appears to him, a man who did not exactly have thoughts of peace, but suddenly the Lord revealed Himself to him. His whole life was changed. A new day dawned for him. And so a songwriter sings, I met the Master. I met the Master. A new day dawned for me. When we meet the Lord, a new day dawns for us. A new path, a new life, by grace. And for this we are grateful to our Lord. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You with all my heart for the words we have been able to read and contemplate today, and for the deep longing that has arisen in us to hear You, to see Your light, to experience You, to receive Your instruction. Faithful Lord, may there be Ananias that You can use, through whom You can speak. O faithful Lord, You have ways and means. We thank You for it. Make Your house a house of prayer. May it be a place of worship. that we offer you the thanks you deserve. Oh, we praise you, we thank you, we praise your glorious name. You let your light shine and spoke to us personally. Our hearts were on fire. We thank you for that. Hallelujah to your glorious name. Amen.